This is the last time I'm going to say this, but Merry Christmas. Today is officially the last day of Christmas. It is called Epiphany. The time leading up to Christmas is Advent. It's our preparation for a season of Emmanuel. Christmas Day is actually the start of the Christmas season. It's called Christmastide, and it's been practiced for thousands of years. Christians have 12 days to celebrate Emmanuel and to feast. The painting behind me is the Adoration of the Magi by Botticelli. It was painted in 1475, and Epiphany, the day today, the last day of Christmas, is the celebration of the three wise men, the Magi, following the light to Jesus. Ron Rollheiser said, "Our culture knows how to anticipate an event, but we don't know how to sustain it." Let us attempt sustained patience and sustained joy and not move on too fast to the next thing. So today is the last day of Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, is a Christian feast day. It celebrates the manifestation of God with us, Jesus' love, and it's manifested with the Gentiles, the Magi. As the Magi were led by the light of a star to the light of the world, who was humbled in the flesh of a baby in a barn, so too are we led by the light of the world. Let's end Christmas following the light of Jesus. And as we wrap up Epiphany and this season of Emmanuel, I'm reminded of the visit of the Magi. And I'm struck by how they first go to Herod's palace to find the new king. Because naturally, a palace is where you find a king. It is not the star that leads them to the palace, but their own assumptions about power and glory and where to find a king. One of the greatest lessons of Epiphany, of today, the celebration of Epiphany, is that faithful disobedience to the powers of the world is a Christian value. The refusal of the wise men to enable Herod's plans for destruction was obedience to a higher power. Jesus wasn't in a palace. He was in a barn. Let's not give up on being challenged on Christmastide. Let's not move on too quickly. We know how to anticipate, but do we know how to sustain? For me, the beauty of the Magi story is in the last line about them. It's in Matthew 2, verse 12. "And they left for their own country by another road." Epiphany is an invitation for us to not only kneel one last time at the crib of baby Jesus, but to leave that place changed, our perspective enlightened and challenged, and our road new. So as we begin 2019, let's set off like the wise men on a new road with Christ. Happy Epiphany, everyone. The justice of Jesus is here. Amen, hallelujah. God is with us. Love is calling. We'd like to begin this morning with a bold call for us in 2019. As we've wrapped up Christmas, or Advent, Christmas, and Christmastide, we begin 2019 with a Kenyan prayer. From the cowardice that dare not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. My favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart. I wish I could do his accent, but I can't. I'm not even going to try. George Bailey doesn't get a new life in It's a Wonderful Life. He gets a new lens to see the one he already has. May we be reminded of the beauty and goodness of our own story as we begin 2019. And may we be reminded that oftentimes we just need a new lens from God. Faith to Jesus, the faith that Jesus wanted us to have, faith to Jesus does not consist in stubbornly holding on to assumptions about Jesus, but in following Jesus into new ways of doing the will of God. Another way of saying this is our stubborn complacent status quo that we all live in is far less great than actually following Jesus. It's 2019. It's a new year. Let's pray for a new lens. Let's pray for new faith, renewed faith and hope as we follow Jesus into the year of freedom and possibility. Oswald Chambers puts it this way: faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. I try to come up with a phrase or a saying every year that kind of is a bit of my call for the year. And this year's is different, so you may laugh at me if you want, but my phrase in 2019, and I would invite you to consider it, is, I don't know. I don't know. Yes. Faith is not about a certainty of beliefs. Rather, faith is a container for our uncertainty. Faith, by definition, is belief in the unseen. Faith is a container for our uncertainty. Faith welcomes us to a spiritual honesty. I don't know is an invitation to spiritual growth and humility. Let us begin 2019 with our eyes and hearts open to God's leading. Let's not let the smallness of our vision limit the greatness of God. So this is the bold call for us in 2019. This is a message for all of us, youngest to oldest, oldest to youngest. The Apostle Paul started his ministry at about 57 years old. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called. Sarah got pregnant sometime after her 89th birthday and delivered a child at 90. I don't recommend that. Stop saying you are too old. Stop saying you are too old. Mary was arguably 16 when she was chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. David was about 17 when he chose a big faith that was bigger than a big giant. A boy of faith gave his lunch of bread and fish and watched Jesus do wonders. Stop saying you are too young. 2019 is about God and potential and the hope of his future. We are never too old and we are never too young to follow Jesus. That's our call for 2019. As you can see, we're starting a series on Sabbath, finding rest in a culture of rush. And friends, I truly believe that our practice of Sabbath has implications for our faith, our health, and our entire lives. I truly believe this. I asked earlier, and I'll ask again, who's busy? Who's too busy? Who's tired of being tired? Who's stressed? Who's not getting enough sleep? I think a lot of us answered yes to all of those questions. And that is not good. In a recent poll, I find this disturbing and hilarious. In a recent poll, the average Canadian craves sleep more than sex. We aren't a sleeping around / sex culture as much as we are just a sleep-crazed culture. I think this says an awful lot about our society. We are in such need of Sabbath, of Shabbat Shalom, the rest and peace and wholeness of God. So our big idea, our thesis for this entire series is Sabbath. It's not running from reality, it's running to God. Today, chaos and restlessness rule, stress and anxiety linger. calm and peace are scarce. We are go, 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 busy, 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 more, more, more. We run forward so fast and so long that we can't feel or see the present. It's always what's next. I think this is hiding from the truth, from our feelings, and from our reality. Maybe we think if we can keep going, keep being busy, keep plowing ahead, our conscience, our reality won't catch us. We do this escaping by working, by buying, by taking, by drinking, by running, by doing everything except rest in the presence of God. The great Franciscan Thomas Merton put it this way: our culture is one which is geared in many ways to help us evade any need to face the inner self. People, this is not a recipe for peace. This is not a recipe for contentment. I think we can agree that when we reflect on the pace of our lives, it is not healthy. This lifestyle that our culture sells and yells, more, 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 is not only a recipe for burnout, it is a recipe for disaster. This recipe, I believe, is a direct cause of our tiredness, of our stress, of our anxiety, of our depression, and of our addictions. Said plainly, I think hastiness and superficiality are the psychotic disease of our time. Our idols and gods are shifting in a culture of excess that says more, more, more. God is saying, slow down, Sabbath, rest. I really believe that the rat race, this pseudo-pressure from culture, is hollow. There is no end. There is never enough money. There is never enough sex. There are never enough booze or drugs. There are never enough toys. There is never enough power. There is never enough success. There is no end to the hollowness. I think we have an idol, and its name is busyness. Felina Hertz, in her brand new book, Mindful Silence, puts it this way: our fast-paced lives are filled with distractions, frequently leaving us disillusioned and dissatisfied with ourselves, with others, and even with God. And this leads me to reflect on this. What we do consistently matters more than what we do once in a while. Taken even further, what we do consistently matters more than what we do, even if it's really well, once in a while. So I have a question for you to reflect on this morning, and it's intense. So, sorry, not sorry. If someone quietly observed your life, my life, if they observed your speech, your actions, your spending, your use of time, who would they conclude is at the center of your life? When I thought of that earlier this week, it punched me right in the head. We were created for a Sabbath. Our bodies, our spirits, our minds need time to rest with God. It's the original design. Why have we forsaken it? It is the start of 2019. Many people will be making resolutions. Has anyone here made a resolution? Not one person. Wow. Good for you. Many other people are making resolutions to better themselves. Resolutions to be healthier, to be fitter, to be kinder, to be more present. These are all very good. But as a church, instead of relying on our own selves, together, let us marvel in wonder at our salvation that has appeared in Jesus Christ. Let us receive him into our arms that we might come alive in him and he may come alive in us. There's pressure in January. It's a new year. We have to accomplish so much. There's pressure. In our attempts to better ourselves, we heap pressure and stress onto our already stressed and weary lives. Shauna Nyquist recently, a few days ago, said this about this pressure of resolutions. Some days I feel like the internet is 100 different versions of strive for greatness, crush everything, be all the things. Look how she's killing it at her game, you can too. And these are the 64,853 things successful people do before dawn. But how about this? You don't have to crush or kill or slay anything today. You don't have to strive or wrangle or hustle or do anything violent today. You can just be human, imago Dei, created in the image of God, in a quiet and honest way. And that is so good. Let's get rid of this false pressure as we start 2019. Instead of multiple crippling resolutions, let us choose to rest in the restoration of the one. Instead of a heavy pressure to achieve much, let us choose a heavy peace from one. Instead of pseudo expectations of betterment, let us choose Shabbat Shalom, the Sabbath peace of God. It's 2019. Let this be a year of spending time with God. Let 2019 be the year where God is, in fact, our God, where our priorities aren't upside down. I believe this is freedom. This isn't pressure. This isn't guilt. This is us finding peace and purpose and hope in how we were created since the beginning of all creation. So this call for Sabbath, this call for rest, this call of leaning into the presence of God is not guilt. It's not something that we're saying you ought to do. We believe this is freedom. This is something that we were created to do. And the fact that we aren't, the fact that we are running in 100,000 different directions is the cause of the instability, hopelessness, darkness, and trouble that we all face. So what is Sabbath? What is it? Sabbath is not a busy church Sunday. Rather, true Sabbath is and was from the very beginning how we are designed and created to rest in God. That is Sabbath. In fact, Sabbath was originally Saturday. It was moved many years ago for economical reasons, so we could buy stuff on Saturday. To be still, remember this line, to be still, to be silent, to Sabbath, is an act of faithful rebel defiance in a world of excess, immediacy, and decadence. If you want to do something countercultural in 2019, practice Sabbath. To put this plainly, to unpack this sentence, is rest is far greater than our resolutions. To put it another way, is time with Christ is far greater than time spent on bettering self on our own. The way we deal with our uncertainty, with our lives, with our time, the way we deal with these things says a lot about whether Jesus is ahead of us or leading or behind us, just carrying our stuff. Let us begin the year not relying on our own strength, striving for more and more, instead humbly relying on Christ who leads us. May our faith remind us of who loves us and of whom we serve. Let us follow Jesus, living and loving like him. Let us begin 2019 with a prayer and with silence before Almighty God, asking for his purpose and will, not trying to do everything on our own strength and pride. This is one of my personal prayers for 2019. Prayer isn't asking God what I want as if I know what is best. May my prayer, God, let my prayer be knowing how I can align to God's leading. Stop my self-driven life. Quiet my inner being. Attune to God. And then allow God to correct my thinking. Align my heart to love. And then reorder my plans. This is transformation. If we Sabbath, if we rest with Jesus, if we truly believe that the most important task in front of us each day is to sit at the feet of Jesus, our whole lives will be transformed. For our passage today, for our scripture, we are going to be looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament. From the creation account to the Mosaic Law, from the Mosaic Law to the life of Jesus. We are looking at Sabbath, a history. In the creation account, you can read along with me, in Genesis 2, 1 to 4, we read, "Heaven and earth were finished, down to the last detail. By the seventh day, God had finished his work. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day. He made it a holy day. Because on that day, he rested from his work. All the creating God had done, he rested. This is the story of how it all started. Of heaven and earth when they were created." I love this passage. You know what? Let's read it again. "Heaven and earth were finished, down to the last detail. By the seventh day, God had finished his work. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on that day, he rested from his work. All the creating God had done, he rested. This is the story of how it all started, of heaven and earth and when they were created." The creation story ends with God resting. After 6 days of world making, God rested. God rested. All perfect, all energy, all powerful, God rested. We were made in his image. It is time that we take Sabbath seriously. It is time that we act like God and rest. The word that's used in Hebrew here for rested is shavath. It shares the same root as our word Sabbath. To take time to rest when we are in the presence of God is Sabbath. We're going to get into this in a moment, but I think a lot of the reasons why we don't Sabbath anymore is because it was made to be something that it actually never was meant to be. It was made as a duty of pressure, of guilt. We made it into this formula. Sabbath, resting, is the original design by God for us to be with him, to be rejuvenated, to be filled with shalom, that is peace, but not just peace, it is wholeness, wholeheartedness. It is us in relationship and restoration with our Creator and Redeemer. Sabbath is mentioned at the very beginning of creation. Rest is mentioned at the very beginning of creation. It is also mentioned before the fall. And it is also mentioned in the Mosaic Law. Rest is original. In fact, we can read about it in Exodus 20. I'm going to read the first of the Ten Commandments. It's in verse 2 and 3. We're going to talk about it for a few minutes, and then we're going to read the fourth commandment. Exodus 22, verse 3. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You ready? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. The first question I think we ought to think about when we read this verse is, what are our small g gods? I think we have way too many of them. This was a radical verse. This was a verse of freedom. The Israelites had literally been enslaved and oppressed by the Egyptians and their lust for power and their subservience to many gods. So many gods. Build this huge pyramid for this one god. Build this massive statue for this god. The Israelites worked and died and sweat and bled for these small g gods. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, was not seen like described by some of us today as limiting or oppressive. I can have as many gods as I want. This verse was not seen as that. It was the opposite. This verse was seen as a radical shift from an actual life of oppression and suffering to a life with their saving and loving God who brings justice like rain in a drought and feast in a famine. The Israelites went from serving and being oppressed by so many gods to being set free by one. The truth of this context, the Ten Commandments, is critical, not only for our whole understanding of God, but for our understanding of the fourth commandment, which is Sabbath. The context and starting point of the Ten Commandments is God is freedom. Faith is freedom. Sabbath is freedom. In Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, we read the fourth commandment. Remember to observe the Sabbath as a holy day. 6 days a week are for your daily duties and your regular work. But the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest before the Lord your God. On that day, you are to do no work of any kind, nor shall your son, daughters, or slaves, whether men or women, or your cattle, or your house guests. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in them, and rested the seventh day. So he blessed the Sabbath day and set it aside for rest. I said a few minutes ago, and this is a very important note, whenever we take something beautiful and good and aggressively force it, it sours. Whenever we take a command from God and bully others with it, we steal beauty. Sabbath was and is for our benefit. It is not a weapon to wield. Sabbath is the peace of God made tangible for you and I. The Israelites were set free by God. Moses went up the mountain and was given these commandments, these Ten Commandments by God, in a very different time. But there's a thread throughout creation and humanity that is from God and is consistent. And I think we agree that in our culture of rush, We need rest. We need Sabbath. And a most important note, please don't forget this. I think this is critical not only to our Christian worldview, but our day-to-day lives. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment. It is a bridge between the first three and the last six. The first three pertain to us and God. You shall have no other names before me. Don't take the Lord's name in vain and have no other gods. The fourth commandment is Sabbath. The last six pertain to us and our neighbor. Do not honor your father and mother. Do not steal. Do not murder, etc. Don't miss that we not only need rest and Sabbath for our health, period, because it is the original design. We need it to properly connect with our Creator and Redeemer. And finally, we need the fourth commandment, Sabbath. We need this to help us bridge the gap between love of God and love of neighbor. Sabbath adds fuel to the fire of our love of God and neighbor. Sabbath allows us to be filled by God, filled with beauty, filled with light, filled with love, so we can give it away. As Jesus said in Matthew 1, freely you have received, freely give. From creation to the law to Jesus. In Mark 2, we read an account of the disciples and Jesus and the religious leaders. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along. They began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, Have you never read that David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful for only priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. And then Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Oh man, Jesus, flipping tables and turning everything on its head. What Jesus says here, I think, can be surmised in this one sentence. Don't turn something beautiful into something ugly. As the church, we have a tendency to do this. Over the years, we've made Sabbath ugly, made it into a chore when it was designed for healing. So the question I have for us this morning is, are we willing to do the hard work to redeem Sabbath? The peace and the wholeness that can only come from time spent with our Creator, Redeemer. It is time for us to recapture the beauty and meaning of Shabbat Shalom, the wholeness, the peace of Sabbath rest. In Mark 1, just before the story I read, right before, Mark 1:35, it says, "Rising very early before dawn, Jesus left and went off to a deserted place." Jesus got up early and spent time with God alone in silence. Jesus ran to God. Silence and solitude was Jesus' example. Let's follow it. One of my favorite quotes is from Henry Nouwen, and he says, "Silence and solitude is the furnace of transformation." I'm sure you've heard me say it before. Silence and solitude is the furnace of transformation. Furnaces are hot. They're uncomfortable. They're painful even, but they're necessary in strengthening, in refining, in purifying, in forging, and in transforming us to live and love like Jesus. If we're not spending time in stillness before God, if we're only in the noise, the blaring noise and rush of everything that is happening, are we actually practicing our faith in Jesus? Where's your time spent? Where's my time spent? This is an indicator of our priorities. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in Meditating on the Word, talks about silence like this, and I think this is important. To be silent does not mean to be inactive. Rather, it means to breathe in the will of God, to listen attentively, and then be ready to obey. This is what silence, contemplation with God, brings us. Silence and solitude not only inform us of who we are and who God is, but motivate and equip us to live a Christian life. Are we relying just on ourselves, or are we relying on God? Sabbath, silence, solitude are God's laboratory for our transformation. Sabbath is not running from reality, but running to God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we wrap up this morning. Let this morning be a call to slow down, to run to Jesus. Sometimes following Jesus is boring. Welcome the boredom. Sometimes following Jesus is repetitive. Accept the routine. Sometimes following Jesus is quiet. Cherish the silence. Sometimes following Jesus is slow. Embrace the pace. Let this morning be a shocking call, a bucket of ice-cold water thrown into your face, a bold reminder that something isn't right about the pace of our lives. Something is missing. Sabbath matters. As the worship band begins to play, I want to read you guys a story. We're going to have some time after this story to respond, to worship, to maybe confess, to spend some silence and contemplation. The story is found in 1 Kings, verse 18. Verse 16. So Obadiah, another prophet, went to King Ahab and told him. And when Ahab then went to meet Elijah, when he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you trouble of Israel?" "I've not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. And bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah." So Ahab went throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." So the prophets of Baal turn up. and they build an altar. They're going to call fire down from heaven. And they start early in the morning, and they march, and they chant, and they sing to bring fire down from heaven, from Baal. And they fail. And Isaiah throws shade at them. He taunts them. He says, shout louder. Surely Baal is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So the prophets of Baal shouted louder, and they marched longer, and they cut themselves and bled as there was their tradition, and nothing happened. Then Elijah said, "Come here to me." And the people rallied around him, and he prepared the altar of God. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel, descendants from Jacob. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord and dug a trench around it and poured grain in it, and then had them pour water on it, 3 huge jars of water, and the whole thing was soaking wet. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, let it be known today that you are God, and that I, your servant, have done these things from your command. Answer me, O Lord, so that these people will know that you are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. You are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and it burnt up the water. "The Lord, he is God," cried Elijah. "The Lord, he is God." So the question for us this morning, as we prepare to respond to worship, contemplative before God, the question before us is, how long, Israel, will you waver between two opinions? If Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Our busyness is our idol. Our busyness is our Baal. And it's causing us great harm. God is waiting with his loving, sacrificial fire on the altar to cleanse us, to restore us, to bring us peace. How long will you waver between two opinions? The screeching burden of busyness, or the peace of God, Shabbat Shalom? It is time for us to call down the fire of God and rest in his presence. We need Sabbath. We need God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing and spend some time in the presence of God. Let us be challenged to put something on the altar and give it to God, to confess, to get out of the way, to get rid of our idols of busyness, the Baal of busyness in our lives, and choose Sabbath peace as we begin 2019.